The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not murder,' and 'Whoever murders shall be liable to judgment.' But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, 'You fool,' you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on your way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. It was also said, 'Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce.' But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Speak to you in the name of one God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. When he was young, Chaim Potok, the famous Jewish novelist, told his mother that he wanted to become a writer. And his mother, an immigrant with four children and four mouths to feed, was not so keen on her son's aspirations. And as the story goes, Chaim's mother would periodically say, "Chaim, don't be a writer, be a brain surgeon. You'll keep a lot of people from dying, and you'll make a lot of money." And Chaim would reply, "No, Mama, I want to be a writer." And his mother, from time to time, would try to change his mind. "Chaim, listen to your mother, become a brain surgeon. You'll keep a lot of people from dying, and you'll make good money." But he always replied, "No, Mama, I want to be a writer." Until one day, his mother, growing frustrated with her son's career choice, she lost her temper and said, "Chaim, you're wasting your time. Become a brain surgeon. You'll keep a lot of people from dying." And Chaim shouted back, "I don't want to keep people from dying. I want to show them how to live." As challenging and unrealistic as the commandments Jesus talks about in this morning's lesson may seem, they are intended to call us to a flourishing of life. They are intended to show us how to live. And as the reading we heard earlier from Deuteronomy says, "Choose life so that you and your descendants might live," so too does the gospel lesson for this morning show us how to live in this new community, the divine values of the kingdom of God that Jesus calls us into and that bring us to a flourishing of life. Now, perhaps some of you might breathe a sigh of relief that here in the Episcopal Church, you are not always required to take the Bible literally. We heard this morning that if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. And I look at many of you today, and your hands seem to be in pretty good shape. It also said to tear out your eye if it causes you to sin. And my eyes are in pretty good shape, and all of yours seem to be in pretty good shape as well. And it's true. As Episcopalians, we don't always take the Bible literally, but that doesn't mean that we're not called to take it seriously. And that's the challenge, especially today, when the writer of Matthew's Gospel recounts the difficult words of Jesus. The gospel story for today comes from a section of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, in which he is talking about the Ten Commandments. And it's important to note that Jesus doesn't do away with the old laws when he says, "You have heard it said, ... but I say to you." Rather, he's expanding on them. And he does so in this extreme and almost unrealistic way. He equates anger with murder, calling someone a fool with blasphemy, and lustful thoughts with adultery. And when Jesus expands on the law in this extreme way, he is challenging his listeners. He's challenging us to go deeper, to strive for something better, to live a life closer that is reflective of the love and grace and power of God. A life that is reflective of the new community that draws us closer to God and to one another. And with this community-creating aspect in mind, we can begin to see this section of Jesus' sermon in a new light. Jesus not only talks about murder and how even anger can be a form of violence that we should avoid, he goes on to highlight the importance of reconciliation and relationship. He explains that if any of his followers has anything against a brother or a sister, they should leave their offering at the temple, go and become reconciled to that person, and only then return to offer their gift to God. Reconciliation, the mending of broken relationships, then, is a prerequisite for coming before God at the altar. What good is it if we come to the altar but are hateful to another person? In his teaching, Jesus shows his disciples that our relationships with our neighbors, that is, with all people, is reflected in our relationship with God. He tries to help his followers understand that there is a deep connection between our relationship with God and the relationships of our lives. So also, Jesus' words about adultery expand it beyond just a single act to a whole orientation around relationship. His condemnation of lust is not so much aimed at our biological functioning. We can't really control the thoughts that pop into our mind, but rather how we choose to organize the subjects on which we meditate. When we objectify another human, we fail to see them as a child of God, thus presenting a barrier to authentic community. And the prohibition of this kind of objectification is meant to preserve the mutuality of marriage and romantic relationships, but it also implies a duty to those who we come across in non-romantic relationships. We owe it to the people we encounter to see them not as an object of our gaze and power, but rather to see them, to treat them as bearers of God's image. In the verses dealing with divorce, it's important to note that in the patriarchal context of Jewish society in the first century, wives could be cast aside for all sorts of ridiculous reasons. And during this time in history, women were dependent upon their fathers and their husbands for their livelihood. If a woman wasn't married, or if they were divorced, it was assumed that great sin must have accompanied her. So, in contrast to the world around him at the time, where women were treated like property, Jesus advocates for a new community in which women are not used and abandoned at will, but treated as fellow disciples. Jesus says that a husband is not to betray his marriage vows by seeking a divorce and thus leaving his wife vulnerable to a charge of adultery and ridicule. In God's kingdom, our individual behaviors and social practices should not leave others tossed aside or cast away from their communities. And finally, Jesus' teaching about taking oaths offers another indicator of this new community he is calling us into. Haven't you ever been in a situation or maybe even said yourself, I swear I didn't do it, or I swear it was just an accident, or I swear I didn't mean it that way? And this sort of language often means, I really mean what I'm about to say, but it also implies that there's times when I'm not being honest. And in his teaching, Jesus tells his followers not to swear by anything, but to let one's yes be yes and one's no be no. Jesus expects speech that is based in truth. He wants his followers to be a people of integrity, to form a community focused on our commitments to one another and on trust. Swearing oaths should not be necessary. In this part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gives us a glimpse of God's kingdom come, a kingdom in which our relationships matter. Jesus' expansion of the law provides a path of wholeness with our neighbors and with God alike. It is meant to show us how to live, to align our lives with the divine values that draw us closer to our brothers and sisters and to God. To live a life reflective of the love and grace of God, so that we too might flourish. Amen.